Accession number 28197, Reel 3.
To the beach itself, it was Juno Beach. What were your impressions of the Canadians actually at the beach itself? Or were there other nations at that beach?
Well, we didn't see a native... Although we was attached to the Canadian division, we didn't have a lot to do with it because they was the infantry divisions and they were all in the forward areas. So we didn't have a lot to do with them at all.
What sort of follow-up units were coming ashore? Did you see what they were? Or?
Well, yeah, because the... What happened then was they had the big rhinos, the big barges with their outboard motors. They used to go out to the ships, and the ships would unload the lorries and tanks and everything else onto these, and then they'd bring them ashore. And we'd have to go out. One time I had to go out to meet one of these LST with rhinos to find out exactly what it had on board. And I tied my duck up to the rhino, and that was fine. I thought that was fine. I'd got all the information I wanted, and then when I went to get the duck, I found then that was about 20 yards. The rope had broke loose, and she's gradually... So I had to wade out up to my chest, and eventually I managed to get in and got onto the duck. So in another way, and after that, they taught me to make sure my knots were correctly tied. Because the point, had I left it going, if I left it as it is, I could have been court-martialed, I suppose, for a negligence. That was the most important rule. So you had to do your job.
Yeah. Once you actually finished out in the beach area, where were you assigned to then?
Once we finished on the beach area, and then we moved on August the 20th, when we moved away from the beaches, and then we went on towards Vernon with the main corps, 30 corps then, on the main route, then up to Arnhem.
Mm-hmm. And basically, what were your experiences during August?
Tiredness, fed up, because you were all in convoy, and it was stop, start, long driving. Then you'd break for tea or lunch or whatever it was, then you start off again. We used to do perhaps 100 mile a day, or 100 mile, and then you pack it in. You'd go off the road, camp for the night, and start off again. And we did this until the September the 18th, or September the 16th, because we pulled into a field then near Best in Holland. That was after, because we after the breakthrough, we went over. When we came out from Belgium into Holland, this was on towards the on the wards to Diest, and then we rested there. And of course, then from then onwards, we pulled into Elst, and this is where they told us that the airborne lads were landing at Arnhem, and that we would be going up there to relieve them.
In what capacity were you going to relieve them? Was it to bring supplies?
We still had supplies only going up there then. But I say, unfortunately, we never got there because they called it the highway to hell. We were very, very fortunate, our company, because we went on the Sunday. We went through Eindhoven, which was in flames, and we were going up towards Grave, or Grava, and it was hit in thick fog. And my co-driver, Andy, said to me, hard right, and I went hard right, and I went down the dike. So we were stuck there. The troops we had on board were quickly transferred to other vehicles. And then about 3 o'clock in the morning, we heard rumbling of tanks. And we just laid on the bank of the dike, hoping, wondering whose vehicles they were coming on. And we then realised there were British troops who got up and waved the officer down. And he said, "What the hell are you doing here?" I said, "Well, we're in the fog last night, we went down here." He said, "Well, you can't stop there because Jerry's in the woods over there." So luckily enough, with my chain and there a couple of tanks, they put the first one, the first tank that tried to pull me out, I was pulling him rather than he pulled me. So what they did, they got two tanks with a big, with my chain around two trees, and they eventually pulled me out. And when I got on the main road, then he said to me, "Well, you carry on and join your company." Well, eventually we got up to Nijmegen, where we joined, our company. And then that evening, we were pulled into a field. We thought, and then this is our night's camp. We got down to camp, and then the sergeant major came around banging on the ducks, "Up, get up, get up, you wanted, you wanted, you wanted." And then we, from there, we started, went into the Nijmegen itself, and we went over the railway bridge, because the road bridge had been bombed. We went over the railway bridge, and we stopped at a place called Elst. And we found out afterwards we were there, because if Jerry had flooded the land, then our troops going to Arnhem would have been in trouble. And the idea was we were going to be there to rescue them. But of course they didn't flood the area then, so we got away with it.
You said you were actually carrying troops up.
We were carrying the 43rd Wessex Regiment from Elst. We picked them up, and then this. And I said earlier that Ken Hobbs was in our company. That was the next time I met him up. He was in the Wessex Regiment, and I said to him, "What the hell?" I couldn't believe it at first when I looked. I said, "Ken Hobbs." He said, "That's right." I said, "What are you?" I said, "Well, what are you doing here? How did you get in here?" He said, "Well, this is a, you know." He said, "I won the prize for the bus." I said, "Yeah." He said, "This is." So that in the evening we picked up the Wessex 43rd Wessex, and then took them up and say that they took them all up to Nijmegen, so then they dispersed there to the different places.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other recollections of the Arnhem operation itself?
Of the Arnhem operation, no. In actual fact, the only thing we did in Arnhem was we was at Elst. C platoon, they went up onto trying to recover the lads, but one of the lads got killed, and the other one, I can't remember the name of the officer, because he was in C platoon, he was wounded. But they were the only ones actually involved in the Arnhem turnout, because you know what a cock up it was right the way through.
So were any from that company, were any of the ducks actually used to ferry First Airborne back across the river? Were any of the ducks used to ferry any of the...
Well, they went up there to use them, but unfortunately they were useless. The banks that they couldn't get in, they couldn't get out of the river, so they say there was no one doing any, made any dive and runs down to the river at all, so they were... Firstly, they couldn't use them at all.
Okay. So, after this period, what were you actually doing then?
After this period, that was in the Arnhem. Then we came from Nunnawards. That's how we came then to go to the Walkland Islands. Mm-hmm. So that was our next job on the Walkland Islands. Mm-hmm. Then after the Walkland Islands, I was in hospital, and when I came out of hospital, we were taken at station in Holland.
When did you actually come out of hospital?
I came out of hospital. I went into hospital in the October the 30th, I think it was. I went to a Canadian field dressing unit first. They took me there because in the evening after the meal I collapsed and I couldn't breathe. And the sergeant took me to the field dressing station, which was run by Canadians. And they got me breathing again then, and the next thing I knew was in an ambulance, and they took me off then to Belgium to the 10th British General Hospital. And I was there until the end of November. And then from there I went to the reinforcement holding unit at Ghent, and I was there quite a long time really. Well, from there they took us to another Canadian unit. I was in what they called a reinforced and holding unit at Grava, and there was we were with the Canadians again, and they were fantastic because the officers sat down with the men. There was no distinction in their officers' mess, sergeants' mess, and all that. You all joined in together, and we were billeted in a barn and a farm. And one day I was, of course, I hadn't been waiting to do nothing to do. I saw a duck go along the main road, so I went up there, and he must have been on the way back again, coming back from his job, and I stopped him and told him who I was and what I was, what I was doing. And the next morning, one of the sergeants came up with a duck and handed me over. The Canadians handed me over from them to them, and so I rejoined my unit again then.
Did they tell you what they were up to while you were away, or?
Well, unfortunately, while I was in hospital, I lost my co-driver. He was badly wounded at Bourbon Up Zoo ammunition dump. There's two or three rocks there, but that, I never saw Andy again then, because he was they took him back to England for recuperation. So I never had him at all. I lost him after that.
Mm-hmm. And so, what were your first operations when you rejoined your unit?
Sorry?
What were you doing when you rejoined your unit?
Well, we were doing nothing. We were hanging around, actually. It was the Christmas period, and we were stuck at in Holland at Elst, and we would just hang around then until in the January, the full down in January, I was given UK leave, so I came home in UK leave, and while I was in UK leave, I finished up in hospital again. I was in the chase part. I finished up in Enfield. I went to the doctor came to see me, and he said, "Well, lad," he said, "unfortunately, you're a soldier now." He said, "I can't deal with you. You'll have to go into hospital." And they took me down to Chase Farm Hospital in Enfield, and I was there for 2 weeks. And then when I came back, I joined a unit at Elst and at Heath, rather. I joined the unit, and we stopped there, not doing a lot of, because everything was virtually nothing much doing at all in our area, because that was in the December when they broke through, when the Germans broke through onto the other part of land.
At that time, was your unit involved?
We were virtually static then, because there was virtually nothing at all. And then till the February, when the big push started again, we were pushed out then. We went to Nijmegen, and we were billeted in a shop, a big multiple store, and our beds were underneath the counters, because that's always there. And that's when we had three drivers to the duck, and we went up to the Wright's Royal Forest taking stores up, and that's when Jerry flooded the land, because we were the only ones getting through. In actual fact, rather strange, because the first time he went through, it was in the night time, and we thought it was hedgerows, and we thought, "Well, this is not bad," until we got to the church and saw there was a little bit of the steeple sticking up. Then we realised it wasn't hedgerows, it was treetops we were going through. And we went to the Wright's Royal Forest, unloaded our stores. There again we were with the Canadians. And then on the way back we pulled into along the side of the road and picked up wounded from a big house, which had made a medical centre, and we brought the lads back on in the ducks to Nijmegen, where they had another hospital fixed up in Nijmegen. Mm. And was on that for about 3 weeks, I suppose, until the water went down.
Mm. Did you come across any fighting which was going on in the forest?
No, the only thing we found was, we didn't go across any fighting, but when we found was, when we was night time, when we were using, if we used our headlights to get a bearing, directly you put your lights on, Jerry is selling an 88 over. But luckily enough, he didn't realise it was duck, how slow the duck moved. So the shells were well ahead of you, so you didn't seem to be worrying about that. But it's fantastic. You only had to see a little light. They must have been waiting. It was directly the light touch that turned the 8-8 over. But to say they were very lucky because we were so slow in the water that the shells were well over in front of us all, so we didn't worry about that too much.
Yeah. And how long did this go on for? How long did this go on for?
For about 3 weeks. Mm. And then, of course, the next thing then from there was the Rhine crossing.
Were you involved in
the Rhine crossing? We were involved in the Rhine crossing. We were pulled up at Basel, and when we got there, we'd never seen anything like it before. The masses and masses of ammunition and stuff all on the sides of the road, everything fixed up. And we poured into this field, and then about 7 o'clock that evening, all hell was let loose. And everything was going, all the barrels were well over the top of us, going over all the way through, and the noise and drone, the crackers. But anyway, in the next morning then, we were told then we were going across the Saint, quite across the Rhine. So we took our stuff.
What were you carrying?
Stores, petrol, ammunition for all the way through. And then when we got to the other side, we were supposed to meet the Pioneer Corps, but there was nobody there. So we had to unload the vehicles ourselves and then come back again and then go back again. But that was in the, what's it called, the when we crossed, that was the first major river we crossed because it was very fast. But we got used to the Rhine in the end, and we knew exactly how to operate, how to get your duck ashore. You know, because what you did, if you went straight across and hit the bank with the tide, you swing out, so you missed your place, and you've got to go around again and come up. But what we did, we went into an angle, so that the tide brought you up level with the man, you used to put all your gears in gerbil. So you had your front wheels, rear wheels, and rear wheels, all gears going, and woof, up you go. We got quite used to that sort of thing.
And how long was that going on for?
Well, once we crossed the Rhine, then you carried on then through from there to Germany right the way through.
And was that, what sort of experiences did you have when you actually entered Germany itself?
We had a funny sense, though, because first of all, we weren't allowed to speak to the inhabitants. That was the Montgomery put a gag on. You weren't allowed to interfere with any of the German people. You weren't allowed to speak to them. That was that. But after a time, you got to finally get to go. And then once the ban was lifted...
How long was the ban there for?
Well, Montgomery realised it was an hopeless situation because you had to talk to somebody somewhere. The ban lasted for about 6 weeks. And then after that, they eased up and so that we could speak to the German people all the way through. But it was in the December, when we were stationed in Germany in December, we were ordered to, when we were going out in the evening, no less than 3 people together, and you would take your arms with you, because they were expecting uprising from the Germans because of the shortage of food and what have you. So you were only allowed to...
This was after the war had ended.
This was beginning, well, when the war was gone. And that was in the Christmas of 44. Christmas 45, this was, Christmas 45. When we went out, you weren't allowed to go out anywhere unless there was 3 of you together, and then you was armed as well, just in case they were troubled.
Yeah. So going back to the actual entry of Germany, was there a lot of resistance against the British forces going into Germany?
There was a lot of resistance because we didn't see much of the main fighting. You see, we was ordered bringing up the supplies. In one particular area, we was detailed to go to a field to meet the Royal Artillery. Well, when we got there, there was the burnt grass where the guns had been, and they'd gone. So you listened, and you carried on then till you found them. So the only unfortunate part about it was there, if our shells had fallen short, you'd have hit you, and if Jerry's been a bit over the top, you'd, so you were in the middle of the two. That was, and also remember, And one of my colleagues at work, he was in the infantry, and he said the worst part, he said he was all right, he knew what to expect. But with us, you never know what to expect, whether they're going to go, say, our shells are falling short, Jerry's falling too long. So here's one of those, this is one of the hazards you accept.
What was the reaction of the local Germans?
In trepidation. They were worried, they were wondering, they were, I think, anxious to know. They thought we were going to do them harm and things like this. I think this was the trouble. But on the whole, we didn't do too badly in the end. But we were given strict instructions by Major Badger. There would be no stealing from the houses whatsoever. If you did, then there'd be a court-martial. He said, we're not at war with the German people, we're at war with the German army. And he was very, very strict on that. So there's no pilfering allowed or anything like that at all.
Mm-hmm. And obviously he was doing this up to the end of the war. What was your feelings when the war was actually over?
Well, in actual fact, it was in... the most important thing of all was we were after them about 45, and it was towards, it was in August 45. Four of us lads were sent home on embarkation leave because we thought, oh, this is the finish, we're lucky here. But we were sent on embarkation leave because we were being, when we were coming back, we were supposed to go to CX, Southeast Asia Command, for the Japanese. And whilst I was on holiday, whilst I was on leave, my wife and I then we thought, so let's have a chance to go down. So we went down to Ramsgate for a couple of days. And on the bus going down to Liverpool, to Victoria Station, I read the paper, the atom bomb had fallen. Oh, this is, you know. And of course, the time we came back, the second atom bomb had fallen. And then the next thing we know, head over the radio, all leave parties, certain numbers and numbers, and you report to your depot a day later. Well, our depot then was the Royal Artillery at Regent's Park Barracks. We had to report to there. And so luckily enough, we never got to, by the time we come back, because the Japanese war was there, so we didn't get posted to. And we got, luckily we were posted then to the 533 company, that was a Royal, another unit, but we were made up especially as an amphibious unit. And there we were attached to the 961 Inland Water Transport Company, Royal Engineers. What we did then, we put we dropped depth charges in the Rhine, and they were blowing up the ricks to make a passageway for the ships to come through again.
And when did this start? When did this start? You actually going into the Rhine to blow up the wreck?
Oh, well, that was in the that was in this. It came back from leave in August, and that was April 46. We were attached to the Inland Water Transport Company, and there was a smashing job really because we were billeted in the St. Petersburg Hotel in opposite Bonn, Königswinter, and this is the hotel where Hitler and Chamberlain signed the 1938 peace treaty. It was a magnificent hotel, and we were there. This is the only place we had to take our boots off or Wellingtons off outside the door. And you put slippers on to walk because the parquet flooring was absolutely magnificent. And that was the first time we had Germans waiting on us. And we went in a great big table, it was a long table, and they were German cooks and they waited on us. And that was the first time we ever had food like that. That was the first time.
You were saying earlier on that when you went out, you had to take your weapons with you because of the shortage of food and the possibility of riots by the Germans.
Well, they were expecting riots, yeah.
How long did this period go on for?
Well, we were only in that particular area, Islam, for a fortnight. So once again, we moved out. Normally, we weren't in the towns at all. We were stuck out in the fields or in places like that. But that was we was in a barrack. We went into a barracks there. We were in there for about a month, I suppose. That was after the war, after the hostilities, because we thought they started. When we got into this barracks, it was PT in the morning, definitely on with the old army routine again, you know. But sorted out, and then we got shifted out again, and this is what happened.